Greg and team, thanks so much. Again, good morning, everybody. Glad to see you and welcome today to the First Colony Church of Christ. We're really glad to have you with us on this last Sunday of the year. And in this morning's message, it'd be sort of a little different type of message. And that, certainly I'm going to read from the Bible, and there are some things that from the Lord today be very, very clear. At the same time, I'm just going to try to do a little just personal coaching and just ask some questions, the kind of questions I ask myself, and you may find some of these helpful, maybe not so much. I think I've got about 22 questions for you today. We'll spend about 5 minutes per question or so, and then kidding around, just seeing if you're with me, okay? We'll just quickly walk through these questions, and hopefully this will help you wind down 2010 in a good way and gear up for 2011, all right? So here we are on the threshold of a new year. And some of you would almost like to replay this past year. Some of you are ready to give it the gift of goodbye and kiss it goodbye. I have no promises for you for 2011. I can tell you this, that God is watching over you. We are never alone. The promises of God are sure and strong, and where the Lord is, there is hope. And into God's hands, we commit ourselves, and into God's hands, we commit our very future. And our God is able to move into whatever arena we open up to Him. Any arena where God's invited, He's able to move in and make a difference. Now, as believers, obviously, we're called to live with a sense of intentionality, a sense of purpose. God's a planner. We're asked to make plans. There's nothing wrong with making plans. However, we hold our plans loosely. We give them to the Lord. And we say, Lord, here are our plans. I'm not just going to sort of, float through life, drift through life. I'm going to make some plans, but Lord, here they are. I offer them to you for your refinement, for your approval, and Lord, you are free to change these and make them better, make them different. All right? Here's a key point I'd like to underscore at the outset today, and that is that God calls everyone to a sense of action in life, to a sense of action. You know this, it's a basic law of nature, that anything that's left to its own has a way of deteriorating. Apathy sets in. Complacency sets in. And the same thing can happen to our lives. When I don't give attention to the most important areas of my life, apathy sets in. Weakness sets in. Those key areas of my life begin to deteriorate. My wife Martha and I, we've traveled in a part of the world that has a lot of vineyards. And I'm thinking right now of a particular area where you can drive along a riverbank. And for as far as you can see, on either side, up the hillsides, are these beautiful vineyards. And you'll see signs. And the signs are telling you who owns this particular, parcel of land. And it's very impressive to me because where I grew up, my mom and dad had a garden, and my mom and dad had a small vineyard. And I know that a lot of effort goes into maintaining a vineyard. With that picture in your mind, listen to this statement of Scripture from Proverbs chapter 24. I went past the field of a sluggard, past the vineyard of someone who has no sense. Thorns had come up everywhere. The ground was covered with weeds, and the stone wall was in ruins. And here the writer of Proverbs is saying, look, you drive past the vineyard, and good vineyards don't just happen accidentally. You see a vineyard, and that's well kept, somebody's giving this some attention. But I drove past one vineyard, he says, and it's amazing. Weeds were all over the place. The ground was covered. The walls were falling down. Listen carefully. You have a vineyard. No, I don't know. Yes, you do. You have a vineyard. It is your life. It's your work. your relationships, your opportunities, your abilities. That's your reality. And the Bible says basically, if you want a better vineyard, there's no vineyard fairy that's going to show up tomorrow and sprinkle magic vineyard dust all over your vineyard and change it. What you do is you say, God, there are certain areas of my vineyard, certain areas of my life that need attention. I'm going to take a step of faith. I'm going to take a step of action, and I'm going to ask you to meet me, and I'm going to ask you to help me. My wife and I have an agreement, and that is, you know, I'm an awful cook. I'm terrible in the kitchen. I am zero help, but I take pride in my kitchen cleaning skills. I can clean a kitchen with the best of them. And often, my wife goes to bed first. And after she's gone to bed, I clean that kitchen. Yesterday, she cooked a wonderful, wonderful meal. Last night, she goes to bed. And that kitchen this morning, spick and span. Now, often she'll get up in the morning and she'll say, you know, oh, please don't applaud that. Please. There are things worth applauding. That's not it. All right. Thank you. I appreciate the effort. But she'll get up in the morning and she'll say, oh, Ronnie, guess what? The kitchen fairy came last night. I said, listen, the dude who's cleaning your kitchen wants you to come up with a different title. All right. You got to start calling him something besides the kitchen fairy. Trust me, the kitchen fairy wasn't here last night, okay? So she's come up with a different title. I'm not telling you what it is, but she's come up with a different title, and it's fine. It's good. Listen, you've got a vineyard, all right? You got a vineyard. And, oh, I'm just waiting for the vineyard fairy to show up. You are your own vineyard fairy. And the great thing is, you're not alone. God says, I'll step in, I'll help you, I'll meet you. Verse 32, he says, I applied my heart to what I observed, and I learned a lesson from what I saw. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to the rest. And poverty will come upon you like a thief, and scarcity like an armed man. Here's what he says. He says, your great danger in dealing with an important area of your life that needs attention, the great danger is not, listen, it's not that you're going to say, never, I'll never, ever give that attention. That's not the great danger. The great danger is you're going to say, I'll tell you what, just a little more rest. I know that needs my attention. I know we need to get involved in the church. I mean, as the kids get older and everything, I'll tell you what, a week from Monday, we'll do that. Here's an area of my life. I know it needs attention, and a week from Monday, I'm on that. God knows that the great danger is not that I'll be saying never. It's that I'm going to go, I tell you, a week from Monday, February, I'm back at church. I'm telling you, February, what areas of your life? Here's a second question to put on the screen. Where is God calling you to take action in your life? Now, to help you kind of think through this, I've got a few questions, all right? Here we go. Let's start with an intellectual question. What are my reading and continuing education goals for 2011? I hope you have some. And I can't wait. This afternoon, I'm planning to go to Barnes & Noble. Got my list of books I'm ready to tackle as we go into the new year. Physical. What's my major physical focus area for 2011? Do you need to get a physical? How long has it been? What do you need to do to get healthier? Maybe some of you need to start taking a Sabbath. Once a week, you get away from your primary work and you develop some sort of hobby. I don't know. Let me throw out some emotional questions. Is there anyone whose forgiveness I need to seek? As you reflect back on the last few months, you know, there was a confidence you broke. there was a situation where you really were out of bounds and you spoke too harshly. You could have said it at a 2, you said it at a 10. Or you were part of a situation, you could have been part of the solution, but you were just part of the problem. Is there anybody whose forgiveness you need to seek? You say, you know, I'm thinking back on this. I was really out of line. Is there anybody you need to forgive? I mean, let it go. I read a great quote a few days ago. It says, the only normal people in this world are the people you don't know very well. Because, you know, once you get to start getting to know people, you think, oh, wait a minute, they've got some warts. Yeah. My wife says that she thinks that's why our culture is so celebrity crazy. Because it's the thing of, oh, I feel like I know that person. You don't know that person. Everything you know about that person is airbrushed and edited. Don't you wish the only thing people knew about you could be airbrushed and edited? Next question. Are there any definite, unalterable changes scheduled for my life over which I do not have control? Some things that you just know in 2011 are going to be somewhat of an emotional transition for you. You're turning 40. Or you're turning 50. You've got an approaching retirement or transfer or graduation or upcoming surgery or empty nest. I mean, that's a huge emotional transition. You know, our kids are grown and gone now, and when we had children at home, we were fully invested, 125%. And when we became empty nesters, that was a huge emotional transition. I've told a lot of you, it took us a good 10, 12 minutes before we could, you know, kind of adjust to that thing. I'm kidding. But what are the, that are, you know, you can just pencil it in. In 2011, some things that are coming up that you need to spiritually be prepared for because you know emotionally it's going to stretch you, all right? What caused me significant stress in 2010, and how am I going to address that? Perhaps you change the source of the stress. Perhaps you change how you cope. I've got some spiritual questions for you now. Am I ready to obey God's known will for my life? Am I available to do the next right thing? Secondly, am I open to God invading my life with new opportunities and new directions? I hope you are. I want, as you read through the Bible, think of all the people over the age of 65 God used in dramatic, wonderful ways. Moses, for example. During his Social Security years, God's using. Caleb. What was Caleb's mantra? Give me this mountain. At age 80. I mean, it's never too late to act on your dreams. It's never too late to serve the Lord with enthusiasm. Here's another question for you in the spiritual realm. If tragedy or reversal comes my way, will I hold on to Jesus? Will I continue to be a person of faith, believing that God can even work this for good? And here's a question that I don't have up, but it's similar. If abundance or unexpected success comes my way in the new year, will I continue to hold on to Jesus? Have you read the book, The Black Swan? I didn't ask you if you'd seen this movie. Somebody said there's a movie out called The Black Swan. But there's a book out called The Black Swan, written about 3 or 4 years ago. And the gist of the book is that black swan events are surprising events that you could have never anticipated nor planned. And they are life-shaping events. On a global scale, for example, it would be the rise of Google or 9/11. And when you look back on it, you know, a lot of folks want to say, oh, well, we could have seen that coming. No, you couldn't have. There's no way you could have predicted it. And there are some black swan events that happen in your life that you can't predict. You have no, and when you look back on it, you think, oh, well, I should have seen that coming. And the critics want to say, well, you should have seen. You couldn't have predicted. There's no way you could have predicted that. The Mirage Casino in Las Vegas lost over $100 million a few years ago. Why? Because they had a black swan event. What happened? They spend millions on risk management. They spend millions on the highest security to catch anybody who even tries to, you know, be illegal. But something happened they could have never in their wildest dreams planned for. Their headline act, Siegfried and Roy, the white tiger who slept in their bedroom, attacks Roy. Now, what that casino had done, they had taken out insurance in case that tiger hurt someone else, but they never even imagined the tiger would turn on its owner, on the headliner, and would so disengage their ability to perform that now the headline act is no more, and that casino, that hotel, loses over $100 million. Please don't mishear what I'm saying. Ronnie's telling everybody to go to Vegas. I'm not telling everybody to go to Vegas, okay? Never been to Vegas. My point is, they experienced something. This is an illustration in the book, Black Swan. You can't predict it. And what's going to happen in 2011 for you? And as you look back on 2010, there may have been some things that happened to you, an abundance or a challenge, and you'll try to beat yourself up. Oh, I should have prevented. I should have. You got to stop beating yourself up. You couldn't have stopped it. You couldn't have anticipated. Never in your wildest dreams could you. So as you look at 2011 then, how do you prepare for what you cannot anticipate? Answer, in advance, you simply become so attached to Jesus. You say, Jesus, I'm with you through this storm. I'm with you through this time of abundance. I'm not going to get sidetracked. I'm with you through this time of challenge. And so I want to just ask you, you know, up front, if tragedy or reversal, or if abundance and success comes your way, have you decided in advance, Jesus, I'm with you? Another question, very quickly. What's my spiritual growth process for 2011? I mean, you know you need a process, don't you? I'll tell you what mine is. I'm going to church every week. I'm giving the first part of my income to Jesus. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to pray. I'm going to connect with other believers. And I'm going to put myself in situations where God can use me to advance His work. That's what I'm going to do. Another question, is there anything impeding the work of the Spirit in my life? Got a few relational questions for you. If you're married, what would it take in 2011 to make my marriage a 10? Ask yourself that question, but ask your mate that question. Next, what steps can I take this year to enhance my relationship with my children or my grandchildren? Because I want to remind you that plan A in the life of every child is the family. Mom, dad, teaching, training, modeling, and sharing personal testimonies of how the Lord has worked in your life. Next question, is there someone with whom I need to have a fierce conversation? By the way, that's the title of a book that you may want to read in 2011, Fierce Conversations. Some of you either play too nice are too hard. And you need to learn how to have fierce conversations. Fierce conversations are where you play nice, but you also stand up for yourself. A fierce conversation is the kind of conversation where you invite another person's perspective. You're going to take your ego, you're going to put it on the shelf, and you're going to try to move towards a better understanding. Don't hear the word fierce and think aggressive, critical, hurtful. It's simply robust and full. Some financial questions. Are my finances in order? And if you know how much you own, how much you owe, how much you earn, how much you spend, and how much you give, then your finances are in order. Am I stuck in a weird mortgage? Practical question. I think some of you ought to take a look at that and get some good, solid advice. Next question, should I make a year-end sacrificial offering to my church? I hope you'll really consider that, because strong local churches are the hope of the world. Strong local churches make possible all the classic works of God: worship, evangelism, discipleship, prayer, service. You can make a difference, and you can make a huge difference in that. I hope you'll consider that. Another financial question, do you know your credit score? And please do not do the free credit score thing on TV, okay? Go with one of the three major consumer credit reporting agencies. Why? Because sometimes some goofy things can happen to your records that you're simply unaware of. 2 years ago, I ordered $150 worth of movies and CDs. No, I didn't. But my American Express card did. And we found out about it when we got the bill at the end of the month. And so sometimes some things can happen, you know, so check on that. All right. Now, in conclusion, very quickly, some overarching questions. What do you do best? And how can you do more of that in 2011? Strengthen your strengths, navigate around your weaknesses. What are you pretending not to know about your life? What are you pretending not to know about your marriage? What are you pretending not to know about your health? Anything you're pretending not to know about your spiritual life? And last of all, what is it you simply must do, must give attention to this next year? Folks, in conclusion, I want to remind you that our great God is our role model in all this. He created the world and then watched as human beings brought about sin and death. And God could have taken the path of least resistance. He could have let complacency and apathy set in. He could have just said, well, that's it, you know, the thing is snowballing, it's mushrooming. I'll just let the world go to hell. But our God never follows the path of least resistance. So he develops a plan as fully expressed in the Gospel of John. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. That's our great God. He's our role model who took action. He said, this I must do. So I hope that you will really get ready for this new year. Don't just let it happen, but allow the Lord to stir you up and move you on. And as we were singing earlier, that you have a vision for a higher ground. And I repeat what I said at the beginning of this message. I can't promise you that 2011 will be your best year, but I can tell you this. Our God is watching over you. God's promises are sure, and our God is able to move into whatever arena we open up to him. I hope you'll do that. All right, everybody, let's bow and pray, and then we'll sing our concluding song. By the way, you'll notice that you have an order of worship, and in your order of worship, there's a communication card. Why don't you take a moment, please, and fill out that communication card. And if you have a particular prayer request, you can write down that prayer request. And this week, we'd be glad to pray over those. Our ushers, in just a moment, will collect these cards. So if you would, just fill it out. And once you're finished doing that, just pass it to the ends of the aisles. Our ushers will collect those in just a moment. And now, please, bow with me as I lead us in prayer. And if you need to continue to fill out that card, feel free to do so. Lord God, the new year is before us now, and we give it to you. We really do. And should this new year be the year in which you return, what a great year that would be. And if you give us this whole year to live, we want to live it with purpose and intention. Lord, we want to give you all of our plans, our dreams, our desires. We ask that we'll be a better and stronger people, people of righteousness and power. And Lord, I pray for this church as a whole, that this would be an uncommon year for us in terms of spiritual thrust, in terms of building relationships with one another, in terms of a missional focus, that this will be a banner year. Well, Lord God, we acknowledge that you are not only the God of yesterday, but the God of today and tomorrow. And we look to you always. May blessing and glory and honor be unto your name. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen.